Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. Sorry I was not on the show last week. I did not come out with one. My regular job during the day, delivery driver, is just hectic. Unfortunately, I apologize that to you, my listeners. But thank you for coming back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. You can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, at LouisLewis5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. Remember, check back every week. Normally, unfortunately, yes, last week, I'm apologizing again. I always have a new episode out on Tuesdays during the off season. On today's show, I'll be giving you news and notes from around the league, and I will be covering a 2-round mock draft that I personally did. It's a 12-team super flex. It's basically my top 24 picks in a rookie mock draft for Dynasty. Without further ado, let's get fantasy. It's showtime. All right. So most of us probably already know the news. If not, George Pickens traded to the Dallas Cowboys. The Pittsburgh Steelers have traded George Pickens to the Dallas Cowboys, leaving fantasy managers wondering what his value is going to be with the addition of DK Metcalf and paying him a 5-year, $150 million contract on top of it. It made a lot of people wonder what they were going to do with George Pickens because he's due up for a contract this coming year. And he, I guess, would say deserves a contract. I mean, he's produced numbers. It's hard to say his quarterback play has been subpar at best. I mean, when you're catching passes from, you know, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, who did they have last year? It's just a makeshift group basically all the time in Pittsburgh for George Pickens. Now he goes to the Cowboys. He's not the focus point because we all know CeeDee Lamb is a wide receiver 1. He's going there to be the wide receiver 2 in that offense, but we have seen him be a wide receiver 1 in the NFL. This is great news for, I mean, George Pickens, absolutely. It's good news. It's left to be seen if he's going to be around for the future with the Cowboys because it's been undecided and remains unclear. Analysts, you know, debate whether this moose boosts his fantasy value, but I believe it does. Like, who do you have as a quarterback right now in Pittsburgh? You have Mason Rudolph as your starter right now. Maybe Will Howard. Who knows? When you go to Dallas, you got Dak Prescott, which is 10 times better than any of those guys. I mean, yes, a lot of people don't like him, but he is fantasy relevant. He throws for 4,000 passing yards as long as he doesn't get hurt. And you're on the opposite side of CeeDee Lamb. So you're taking all your pressure off. You don't have to have double coverage day in and day out. It's great news for, you know, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, even Dak, the whole Cowboys team. You know, it just opens up the door so defenses don't focus just strictly on CeeDee Lamb because, you know, their running back core right now is in shambles. We don't know who. I'm guessing it's going to be Jaden Blue to win that battle after first couple weeks because I don't like Javonte Williams. After his knee injury, he showed no promise. Myles Garrett just wants to go back to the old division and probably get some revenge on the Eagles. but he ain't going to beat out Jaden Blue, in my opinion. But also, if you look on the other side of this, DK Metcalf, you are now wide receiver one clear cut for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a good thing for him. Hopefully he gets that quarterback situation figured out, because he could have had Sam Darnold, which is better than Mason Rudolph. I don't know what's going on with drama queen Rodgers. He's going to be playing. If he's not, in my eyes, if he hasn't been signing yet, I don't know if he actually does. Maybe he just sits around and waits until after training camp so he doesn't have to participate, because we all know he hates doing any of those extra work, I guess you would say. But maybe he's also holding out for potential injuries, you know. I mean, hell, we just had Derek Carr retire. But also we look at Roman Wilson. I think it's a huge boost for Roman Wilson. His rookie year, came into the league, his ankle injury still was not settled. So basically he was a redshirt rookie. So that opens the door. Kelvin Austin opens the door. A lot of these guys, the only downfall for any of them, they're in Arthur Smith's doghouse, or in his offense. So I guess you would say it's a doghouse, because he doesn't really produce high-level guys besides A.J. Brown 1 year. I think he has wide receiver 8 on that year. Besides that, it's been wide receiver 20 to 35 was his top receiver. That's going to probably be DK Metcalf this year. But I can see Roman Wilson getting a boost as well, just because he's going to catch the intermediate routes while DK is running and stretching the field. Moving on to another news, it's been reported Travis Kelce is getting reborn. No, he's not having a kid with Taylor Swift. He lost 25 pounds since the Super Bowl, it's been reported. At the age of 35, Kelce aims to bounce back from a season with career lows in receiving yards and touchdowns. His improvement in fitness could enhance his performance and fantasy value in the upcoming season. I think he's doing this just to, you know, be in well shape, take care of his body. I think he's going to still finish a top 5 tight end in all categories. I don't see him slowing down in that aspect. 35 is very old. I mean, hell, I'm only 34, but in football terms, that's older. You got Mahomes, you got a lot of different rookies and couple year players on the wide receiver core. I think this opens up and it proves that he is dedicated to staying in football shape and that he's going to have a good year this year. I just believe it. I think he's going to personally finish top 3, but I'm going to say at least top 5 in tight ends this year. So if you have him in Dynasty, good job. If you don't, perhaps throw out a little flyer, you know, throw a couple third rounders, maybe a second, and get yourself a tight end. Reports are coming out that Shedeur Sanders is outshining Dalen Gabriel. Per Zach Jackson says that Sanders has looked much better than Gabriel so far, and it hasn't even been close. I think we kind of seen this coming. I'm still in disbelief that Sanders slid that far in the NFL draft. He should never have, in my opinion. He's probably the most accurate quarterback in this year's draft. But with that being said, I believe he should have at least been top 3 round or third round pick. But instead, Dalen Gabriel was that third round pick. And now, though, he could live free. You know, he's just going out there playing his game. Hopefully focuses on him and himself only. I know there's a lot of reports of Brown's getting frustrated with his media crew following him around, trying to create a documentary about himself or whatever the case may be. I think he's just got to turn off the light you know, turn out or silence the noise around him and just focus only on football. If he focuses on football, everything else should fall in place. Yes, your dad's Deion Sanders. Congratulations. You know, it. I just strongly believe if you're wanting to make it in this league, that you have to silence the noise outside of what you have now. Moving on, talking about rookie quarterbacks, Jackson Dart scored 100 SPS score. That is star prediction score, which is a data-driven scouting model built to identify high upside prospects and reduce draft risk. Out of 309 quarterbacks since 2003, he ranks number one. The only one he ever tied was Lamar Jackson, that also scored 100. And that's that. He joins a huge crew, the top 10 since 2003. Dart, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Ben Roethlisberger, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson was great until he got in his issues. So he was a good quarterback, especially in fantasy. Cam Newton, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, and Drew Brees. That's 10 great, well, 9 great players, especially for fantasy purposes. If Jackson Dart can actually live up to this expectation, I think the sky is the limit. So you might see in my rookie mock draft that he might be taken in the first round. Stay tuned for that. Also, the New Orleans Saints have signed Donovan Peoples-Jones, a wide receiver. He hasn't, I don't even think he played last year, but I think it's just more of having another body, trying to see if he fits the system and the mold. We'll see. I doubt he even makes a team personally. And speaking of the Saints, I already mentioned it earlier, Derek Carr retires from the NFL after 11 years of service in the NFL. There's reports that possibly he comes back in 2026, but I just looked. It says that's being shut down because he's already looking for his next future. Like, what is his future now? I'm guessing he's probably going to try to do what most ex-NFL players or players in general in any sport is announcing. I think he could be successful during that, you know, announcing games or being an analyst of some sort. I just think for the Rams or for the Saints, this is bad news because you're going to start either Tyler Shook, Spencer Rattler that we seen last year look scary bad, and Jake Haener, and he looks bad, just as worse as Rattler. So you might be seeing a lot of Tyler Shook starting this year. So if you're thinking about your rookie mock drafts, it might be a good idea to take a second round flyer on him, especially now that Derek Carr has announced that he's retired. One last thing I would say for news is this Thursday, the NFL schedules come out. So be on the lookout for that. We know the first game of the season will be the Eagles hosting Dallas Cowboys September 4th on a Thursday. I'm going to take Eagles in that one, but it's still a long ways from now. They also announced today the international games, and here they are in case you missed it. Just like last year, we had the Packers and the Eagles on that Friday night, and I think it was Brazil with a terrible field. But it's to be determined the team that's going to face the Los Angeles Chargers on the 5th. So that Friday, I think it's going to probably be another Netflix game type deal. But on September 5th, the Friday, is the Chargers versus a team that's going to be announced on Wednesday, so tomorrow. Vikings face the Steelers September 28th. A week later, Vikings face the Browns October 5th. A week later, Broncos faces the Jets. And a week after that, Rams face Jaguars. And then we get a couple week break, and then you got Falcons versus Colts November 9th. And a week after that, Commanders versus the Dolphins. Chat, of all these games, which one are you excited for? Even on the first one, I know it's a long ways away from now, but we get excited, don't we? Like, I'm excited. Every NFL did a great job. You got the Super Bowl in, you know, February. You have the Combine. You have Pro Days. You got the draft. Or, you know, you got the free agency also starting. And now you got this week, the schedule. I love it. I mean, also, you want to look and see if you have any bye weeks, if you're in super flex leagues and dynasty. Does both of your quarterbacks have the same bye week? And also, for relevance in any buying tickets or being a spectator at any sport, you want to go there and make plans before they settle up. Anyways, that is the news and notes from around the league. Let's hear a word from the Podfather.
Hey, what if I told you there was a Dynasty app where you could get player lifetime values, evaluate trades, including draft picks out to 2028, compare the advanced metrics of two players, look up the sentiment, buy, sell, hold on players? Well, there is a mobile app that has all of that and more called the Dynasty Dominator, and it's $5 in the App Store on Google Play. This is my gift to you, the most affordable Dynasty League domination app available today. And if you already have it, the 2025 class is ready to download. Let's go.
Yeah, be sure to download it. Also, if you use my promo code Lewis for the all-in package, you get $25 off. And that expires next year. Also, be sure to follow us throughout the whole year. You know, you're doing a good job right now watching the YouTube. Be sure to click the notification button, follow, subscribe, like this video. Also, check out my own personal podcast called Fantasy End Zone. I usually have a new episode every Tuesday during the off season, and then Tuesdays and Fridays during the regular season. So be sure to check that out. With that, let's get in our two-round rookie mock draft. So I'm doing it on Sleeper. I'm doing it as if I was at these each positions. So obviously, number one, I don't think we have to really speak much on. Excuse me. But I think it's got to be Ashton Jeanty. It's just a perfect fit in Las Vegas. He's going to get a bulk load of carries, and it's going to be a stellar performance. Next, at the 102, I like Amarion Hampton. He might not give you that much production right away the first season, but he's going to be the bell cow by the time you really, really need him for fantasy purposes, for the fantasy playoffs. I highly, highly, you know, would suggest Amarion Hampton, especially he's going to probably be a top 10 running back after this year in draft or in dynasty league. So I really like it. Number three, since this is a super flex league and a tight end premium, I have Cam Ward going here. If you know Superflex, you could flip this guy if he does well for two firsts next year and just keep on reaccumulating that. Also, he's the only quarterback this year guaranteed starts. Like, yes, you have Tyler Shuck, like I already mentioned earlier on the show, that he has potential of being that guy to start. You also have Jackson Dart, but both these guys might not play all year or might play only half a season. So if you're looking for production right away, Cam Ward is the only way to go. At 104, I think Tetterell McMillan, T-Mac, I think he likes to be called, makes a whole lot of sense here just because he is a 6'5 guy. He's going to a lovely landing spot. Bryce Young gets a true number one wide receiver. Also, I feel like the coaching staff, they came from Tampa Bay. They are kind of doing a copycat league. And why would you not copycat Mike Evans? And that's truly what I see him doing, is having Tet McMillan be his Mike Evans of this offense. At 105, I have Travion Henderson. I just like his production in college. You know, as a freshman, he came on the scene, just boom, 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 boom. And he's got that speed, that home run ability. Everyone wants to compare him to a Jahmyr Gibbs. Stop doing that. Just compare him to, like, I think on Player Profiler, I think we have him compared to like a Reggie Bush. He's just got that true home run speed. One cut, there he goes. Also, he was drafted very high in the second round. And it's this coaching staff's draft pick. Now, right here is where I think things get a little tricky. I'm going to say it's either Travis Hunter, Quinshon Judkins, or even Tyler Warren, just because it is tight end premium. I'm going to stick and think Travis Hunter is that guy. He's going to be him. They drafted him at 102, traded a lot of assets just to get him. I think he is that guy that can step up, play wide receiver right away for this team. Everyone's saying that Brian Thomas is going to cloud him. I think they just help each other out tremendously, because if you cover one double coverage, you're going to have the other guy open, and vice versa. So that's why I'm selecting Travis Hunter at 106. 107, I got to still go back to Quinshon Judkins, especially this year. It is definitely a running back class heavy compared to previous years. Last year, I mean, Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson were the top guys roughly, but there's no Malik Nabers in this class. So Judkins is got to be taken at 107, in my opinion. And he's going to take the Nick Chubb role this year. Now, again, it's tight end premium. Only because of that, I'm taking Tyler Warren. A lot of people don't like him this high right now just because he's on the Indianapolis Colts. But this is dynasty. If he's not, he's still going to get his volume. How do you help a quarterback? Get him a true friend. And how do you get that? You get him a great tight end. So maybe this will settle down Anthony Richard. I don't know if it'll settle him down, but it'll settle down whoever they have at quarterback this year or next year. Get yourself a big pass catcher. Also, they came out with reports saying they're going to utilize him in so many different ways. And I think that's how he should be used in this offense. Next year, I think he's going to be a slam home run hit, and he's the sky is the limit for him. At 109, I like RJ Harvey. He's been growing on me. They came out saying that he can be easily a three-down running back. They're going to utilize his great skill set at various times. But in a Sean Payton's offense, I think you have to put him there. Next, I really like Caleb Johnson at 110. He fell in a perfect landing spot. Again, I just talked about Arthur Smith's team only produces running backs, but if you look at wide receivers, his wide receivers have been good at all. You had, AJ Brown as wide receiver 8, I think, on 1 year. And besides that, it's been like 18 to 35 every year he's been in the as a play caller. So I think they're going to run the crap out of the ball. And how you do that is Caleb Johnson. Next, at 111, who do I take? I think you got to take your chance, and it's a process of elimination. Colson Loveland, tight end premium. There's a reason you drafted him number 10 overall, and you got to believe in Ben Johnson's offense. And I think he is going to be a red zone target and red zone hog for Caleb Williams. And finally, my last pick in the first round, I'm going to say normally if you're picking at 112, you usually won the championship just because you're the champ, because you get the last pick of the draft. How often do you have the chance of possibly grabbing one of the young talents at quarterback position? I know it's super flex, but I have to say Jackson Dart would make a whole lot of sense for a championship team. Maybe you're getting a little older. Maybe you only have two quarterbacks. Why not have a third? Yes, you could draft, you know, Emeka Ebuka, Matthew Golden, Luther Burden, other players that can maybe move the needle. But it seems like if you won the league, you probably have those positions already set. So why not grab Jackson Dart? And then on top of it, like I mentioned earlier, if he does produce and shows out, you could flip him for two first rounders, just like I said about Cam Ward. So in the first round, I have Jainty, Amarian Hampton, Cam Ward, T-Mac, Tyrone McMillan, Travion Henderson, Travis Hunter, Quinshon Judkins, Tyler Warren, RJ Harvey, Caleb Johnson, Colson Loveland, and Jackson Dart. Now, from here, let's get into the second round. This is the only two-round mock I'm going to do for you. Kind of trying to make it quicker for you so it's not as long of a show. Just let me know in the comments what you guys actually think. If that's a good first round or is that typical what you see, and who you would draft higher. Let me know. In the first pick in the second round, Matthew Golden, maybe, because this is the first time they drafted a wide receiver since Javon Walker. It's been years and years and years. Maybe it was a pick to get the crowd fired up. Who knows? But I don't think you waste a first round pick. Yeah, offense line would have been boring, blah, 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 blah. This guy showed that he could play at University of Texas. A lot of people hate him because of his production. I'll say it. I said it once before. I'll say it again, though. Look at all these rookies. When do they start taking off? When do they start taking flight? Second half of the season. When did Matthew Golden take flight? Second half of the season and in the playoffs and drove them all the way down, you know, inside the playoffs for hope to have the NCAA championship. Fortunately, it fell short. At 202, I am taking Emeka Ebuka. I think this gives a lot of people I didn't personally like the landing spot. I mean, you could check out last week's show. He was one of my losers for the landing spots. I didn't like it just because it seems like he's going to be covered up by Chris Godwin and everything else. I read more into it, you know, more reports coming out. That's why we're doing these. A lot of you haven't done your rookie drafts in general. I've only done one of my like four or five dynasty leagues. Two of them are this weekend, so maybe I shouldn't produce this so then my friends don't know who the hell I really like. Anyways, they're saying Chris Godwin, this makes it so they can relax and they don't have to bring him along or pressure him to get healthy as quick as they probably would have. You know, and in long term, who knows if Mike Evans will be there next year. At 203, I have issues here, but I think I guess stick to the, you know, again, Luther Burden, the third. There's a reason you draft him very high in the second round. Maybe he is your Jahmyr Gibbs closer than, you know, because we know how much he does, or Ben Johnson don't really care for DeAndre Swift. He kicked him off the team years ago when he was in the Lions. He did have him for one season, but in that one season, I think Jamal Williams had 16 touchdowns in that one year. But I think that he should go around here. It's great value at this draft spot. He had a great sophomore season. We were talking about him being a top 10 draft pick before, and he just fell flat on his face his junior year. Unfortunate for him, but it's luck or good for us fantasy gamers that he's landing in Chicago. And I think I'm up here at 204. This is where it kind of starts dwindling down into how do you rank these guys? For me, I think Cam Scadaboo has been growing on me. If you watch previous videos or listen to previous podcasts with me on it, I've been a hater of Cam Scadaboo. I think he fell into a great landing spot just because I think it's going to be like kind of a 1-2 punch. He can catch balls out of the backfield, but the Giants are sick and tired of, you know, fumbles. You fumble at the 1 yard line like Tyrone Tracy did last year, and he fumbled more times in the red zone as well. I think they're sick and tired of it, to be honest. And why not get a guy that's going to be a ground and pound hog and have a great games ahead of himself? Next, I love Trey Harris, where he landed. We talked before how important the landing spots are last episode. This landed in perfect position outside of McConkey. And you have one of the top 8 quarterbacks in the league in Justin Herbert. I just think it's a paired match, and I love it. Next would be at 206. I like Jack Beck. I think there's reports right now I've been reading that at minicamp he's been getting wide open on one-on-one drills. And I just love his landing spot as well. You know, he's with the Raiders. Yeah, you have Jacoby Myers. You got Ashton Jeanty. But you also have a quarterback that can produce 4,000-yard passing seasons. And I think Jack Beck, or Betch, with his blocking skill, his determination, you know, we've seen it at the Senior Bowl with his heart filled with, you know, emotions and everything else with his brother. This guy can ball. This guy can play. I've said it last week. This is one of my favorite landing spots, and I think it's right at this position where you should be taking him at 206. Next would be Bashawn Tutten. If you ask me, Jeremiah really loves him. If you go to Fast Draft, actually, speaking of Fast Draft, you know, let's take a sidestep. Fast Draft. Get in, get on it, or download Fast Draft and use my promo code Lewis. You get a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit up to $50. You can find me and all of us here from Player Profiler in those drafts. You know, you got Cody Carpentier, you have myself, you have Chev, you have Jeremiah. Jeremiah loves Tootin in the second round, if you're going to be honest. We also have a rookie origins going on that you could 1,000 times your money by downloading or to play it. So be sure to join it. Again, use my promo code Lewis, LEWIS, and get a dollar-for-dollar match up to $50. Anyways, Tootin I think he's going to be a home run hit. If not this year, next year he's prime. You know, he's cocked and ready to load for major workhorse touches next year. At the 207, I said it earlier, Tyler Shook, I think he's going to start this year. I'm probably should draft him where maybe 204, where I drafted Cam Scadaboo. It's makes total sense. You drafted him in the second round. He is a star in the making, you know, just like a lot of us in last year's rookie drafts. We took Bo Nix or Michael Penix in the second round, and they showed that they can produce. This guy's been in the college for 7 years, has 27 starts. That's a big concern, but injury history is a concern as well. But if he produces, you could flip that again. And that's where a lot of these guys are from here on out, is high upside, and maybe you could flip them. With that, I'm going to say Kyle Williams has got to be my 209. I like the playmaker before. He was one of my rookies of the week before the draft. He dominated in all levels. He held, or he produced with Cam Ward as his quarterback before. I just like the production that he puts out there. And I think this coaching staff found a gem in Kyle Williams. Now at 210, this is where it gets tricky. What do you go for? Depending on team needs and everything else like that. But I also said where, like, if you could flip somebody, I think, you know, it could be Shadeer Sanders. It could be, you know, Jalen Milroe. I think I like Elijah Arroyo. I don't know how exactly you pronounce it, but I'm saying Arroyo. The GM came out, said if he played every single game this past year, that he probably would have been a top 10 pick as well, just like Cosin Loveland. He balled out at the Senior Bowl. Unfortunately, got hurt. I really wanted to see what he could do at the Combine. It's unfortunate. It happens. That's the biggest issue, is he going to stay healthy? But in tight end premium, I think it's a great place to draft him at 210. Speaking of tight ends, I think this guy next, Mason Taylor, who else is he going to have to fight for targets? You got Garrett Wilson. You got the running backs coming out. You know, you got Breece Hall and all that. But who's next? There's a reason why you got drafted in the second round, Mason Taylor, and you landed in a perfect landing spot. I'm pretty sure Justin Fields made Cole Kmet into a great fantasy relevant tight end for a season or two. That's what you are going to become, Mason Taylor. And with this final draft spot, I really like Jaden Higgins. Milroe has a potential. Noel, you got Shadeer Sanders. I think I really like Jaden Blue, especially with his upsides. This is a home run upside swing. Again, at the 112 or at the 212, 112, usually you won the league. You took Jackson Dart and you pair him with Jaden Blue, a high potential of a starting running back. Why would you not? It's just an absolute home run as well. Even like, you know, I didn't make these picks, but you got Jaden Higgins in the third round, Milroe, Noel, Shadeer Sanders, Devin Neal. I don't like his landing spot, but Terrence Ferguson, I love his landing spot. You got our Alec Aomanamor, even Will Howard potentially. You know, you got a lot of, I really like Pat Bryant as well. Woody Marks even too. I think he caught like 52 passes in the last couple seasons, and you're competing with a guy that is going on 30 and Joe Mixon. It makes a whole lot of sense. There's so many guys that you could look and acquire in the third round. It, again, for you listeners, the second round is Matthew Golden, Emeka Ebuka, Luther Burden, Cam Scadaboo, Trey Harris, Jack Beck, Bashaw Tutin, Tyler Shook, Kyle Williams, Elijah Arroyo, Mason Taylor, and Jaden Blue. Let me know what you guys think of this two-round mock. Yes, I did it by myself. Just let me know. Did I screw up? Would you have taken Jaden Higgins over some of these guys? Would you have not took some of these guys? Let me know in the comments. I read them. I try to get back to you guys. I love, you know, doing this kind of content for you guys. And I just want to know and get your guys' feedbacks. And that is a wrap of today's show. Thanks again for tuning into Fantasy End Zone. I appreciate you listening. Be sure to like, follow, subscribe. Click the little bell notification. Share it with a family, friend, whatever. Also, follow myself on Twitter at LewyLewis5. That's LewyLewis, and the number 5. And I will see and talk to you guys, fantasy heads, next week. Peace out and have a good week.